Hey, it's my second day here. Second Sunday in a row here. I almost feel like a local now, and I just starting to make a decision that maybe we should move together. Together to Ballarat with myself and my wife. So we are very excited. We're going to call ourselves Ballarat Local on Friday, because that will be our first day living in Ballarat. So that's exciting. Ooh. Apparently it's full of beautiful people. Unlike Melbourne? No. Hey, so last week I had a privilege to be in Life Warrior, which is the kids ministry over here. I was assigned with one of the leader and sit with the grade fours. Grade four. As we start the service, we sit together in a small group. We share our week, how well our week was, what is the significant things that happened during the week. And the leader closed with these questions. She asked whether we talk about Jesus this week. It's a question that I reckon pretty hard for grade fours, but and you know, it just invokes awkward stares between the kids, go like, oh, did you talk about Jesus this week? You know, everyone looking at each other, I'm looking at them, they're looking at me, I go, you're supposed to answer, I wasn't the one that asked questions. And one kid says, he said, I talk about Jesus, it's Christmas. So I tell my friends that Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is about the birth of our Savior, our Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's what he said. He's going to be the next Bill Graham from Ballarat. And then his friend looked at him, eye to eye. And then I reckon this is one of the most genuine response you can ever get from a kid. He said, did your friends believe you? Did your friends believe you? Friends, I believe that questions reflect something so tangible in our life, in our society. I believe that response encapsulates an enigma. We are curious about the truth. We want to find the truth, but at the same time, we're skeptic too. I mean, if truth is as easy as walking into a door and you find something labeled truth, we will be able to take the truth straight away. But we live in a quite complex world. Recently, the term fake news seems to take highlights the last few years. Heard about fake news? I mean, a newspaper can release a title. Sorry, am I getting too close to that mic over there? That could be the Holy Spirit over there. So a newspaper can present something, and another newspaper can say, no, that's not true, that's fake news. And then as a reader, you are left to believe which one is true. An example, flat earth and round earth. Look, I'm not a scientist, I'm not here to preach which one is which one. I'm just saying there's an argument about flat earth and a round earth. And believe it or not, some people believe one side of the story and the other side of the story, and they kind of argue a lot. How interesting is that, though? Truth can be subjective. How about another one? Climate change. Climate change. It's a hot topic at the moment. It's a topic that you can experience in your real life, isn't it? You can feel the change in weather. And again, I'm not here saying which one, do we have a climate change, do we not have a climate change? I'm not here to say that, but it's interesting that a truth can also be absolute. It can be real. It can be real to your life, and you are left with the decisions to believe or not, whether to take action or not. And today, my friend, we're going to look into John 14, verse 6. But first, let me just say to you that although truth might seem like a philosophical puzzle, is a brainy question, I believe looking for truth and explaining the truth and speak the truth is not as complicated. So my first question for you is, what is truth? All right, so we're going to open this chapter from the book of John 18. It's a conversation between Jesus and Pilate, and it goes like this. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did other talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place." And I reckon here is the question about truth. "You are the king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth, listen to me." And Pilate replied this, "What is truth?" Friends, the Bible makes some distinctive claims about truth. It claims that God exists. If you can have another slide. It claims that we are born with a purpose. We are born in God's image. And that the Bible spoke into our moral conscience. Jesus claimed this. Jesus claimed that he is the word. Jesus claimed that he is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Only through him you can know the Father. That's the core message of Christianity. And Christians believe that this truth corresponds to our life. It's not just a theory. It's not a night book before you go to sleep that you read. But it has a tangible feeling that govern your decisions, that you can experience in your life. It's not just a story. So we believe, if you have already accepted Jesus, we believe that God really exists. Jesus is not a myth. We have more than atoms and molecules and the resurrections really happen. So, in the question of what is truth, I can summarize that truth is what corresponds to reality. In other hand, if it's not correspond to reality, it's untrue. It can only be one truth. So John says this. Can I have the slide before, please? He connects the theme of truth and the word of God from chapter 8, verse 31. And this is what he said. "In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world was to testify to the truth." That's what Jesus said. And John continued with this. "To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" The truth is not just a knowledge. It's something that affects you in your life. It's something that's real. And that's why Jesus can say, the truth will set you free. So that's truth. But is truth really matters? So my next questions upon following this theme of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is to ask why truth matters. I come from a country called Indonesia. At the beginning of the year, we have this presidential elections. Has been pretty significant because this is probably one of the most important elections in the history of Indonesia. And what's apparent throughout the year before is the campaign and release of hoax. If you don't know what hoax means, it's basically fake news in more cooler Indonesian lingo. So there's a newspaper that studied this dynamic for the whole year throughout the campaign. And they come up with this. 44% of Indonesians are unable to differentiate between the hoax, fake news, and the real news, 44%. Just Wikipedia, how many millions of Indonesians is living in Indonesia. 44% is a lot. 44% receive hoax news every day. About 68% come from the social media and newspaper. How interesting is that? So in asking the questions, does truth matter? Why truth matters? We can only think that knowing the truth, it plays on our decisions and it plays on our action. For example, if you are trying to buy a drink, you're going to go to a petrol station, and you know there's a drink there. You will go there because you know the truth is there's a drink over there. It governs your actions. Knowing something that is true leads you to make a decision. And C.S. Lewis, through his book, In Understanding Truth, he says this. Truth grounded in reality. So when it is real, it matters because our action is also grounded in reality. In other words, our belief in truth plays the chief role in our decision-making and action. Truth matters because we make decisions based on knowing the truth. There's a verse just before in chapter 14 where one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas, asked a question to Jesus. Chapter 14 is part of the a discourse called the farewell. Jesus is about to leave. The disciple doesn't really know what's going on. They try to understand, but they just can't put a finger on it. Thomas asked this question. Firstly, Jesus said, "You know the way to the place that I'm going?" And Thomas said, or asked him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? How can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. We don't know the truth. How do we make decisions to follow you if I don't know?" It's an interesting question, isn't it? Like, imagine what happened if we live in a world without truth. Imagine what happened with science, human knowledge. It could be just collapse into conjecture. It could be just an assumption instead of a real knowledge. Imagine without truth, what would happen to journalism, like newspaper? It would just dissolve the rumors. Without truth, what happened with politics? What happened to business? It would be just rules of power games. Without truth, what happened with our identity? The precious gift of human reason and freedom become a license, and all human relationships lose the bonding element of trust that's binding our heart. So everything crumbles without truth. You see, truth is important here because in the absence of truth, the meaning of life is at stake. Excuse me. Which is why Jesus said, "The reason I was born and came into this world is to testify the truth." That's what he said to Pilate. What I find quite interesting is, as we talk about the fake news, as we talk about the flat earth, round earth, that truth can be subjective and absolute. When we decided that we're going to move to Ballarat, all the Melbournians said, "Ballarat is cold. Don't you know? Like, don't you read the warning?" That's a statement of truth. Am I right? Do you know why, though? What happened if I invited a guest from, I don't know, from Bali, for example, and said, "Oh, it can't be that bad. It can't be that bad." I reckon everyone that lives in Ballarat will be able to say, "You are wrong." Do you know why? Because the experience of the coldness of Ballarat, especially in June, is experienced subjectively by you. You experience the truth. It doesn't just It's not just a theory. You can feel it. It's crawling under your skin. It's a fact. You know what? It doesn't stop there. The truth is also absolute, because you could see the mercury level goes down. And goes down, you know, too low. And you could see the absolute meet the subjective. And therefore you can say, this is the truth. My friend, Jesus says this. If you can have another slide. I am the true and the living way. To be able to claim that he is truth, he is the truth, he can only say so if he have the revelations of the absolute truth. Firstly, by saying that he is the true and the living way, you can't take the truth away from the way or the life away from the truth. It all works together. Jesus is not just a teacher. He's not just saying, I have the best teaching in the world for your own morality. If you want to make decisions about loving others, just follow my teaching. No, he said, this is it. Follow me, my friend. Follow me, because through me you can see the Father, full of truth, full of life. And this is the way you will experience the fullness of life. That's how he said. But he can only say so because in chapter 1, verse 4, John, in John's account, he said this: in the beginning was the world, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The beginning of Jesus is a miraculous, magnificent beginning where it's not just a normal birth. The Word of God is embodied in him. The truth, the absolute truth, is embodied in him. And we can see this happen because in chapter 1, verse 18, it says this: for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in his closeness relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus is the truth because he embodies the supreme revelations of the absolute truth. Therefore, he can say that he is the way, he is the living way, he is the true and living way. His foundation is not just story and theories, but it's revelations from God. Thomas Kempis, he wrote this poem as we reflect upon John 14, verse 6. Follow thou me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. I am the truth which thou must believe. I am the infallible truth. I am the sovereign truth. It's interesting that what follows in chapter 14 is a discourse between Jesus and Philip. Philip is one of Jesus' disciples. And after Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, Philip asked these interesting questions in verse 8. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? You know, for John, truth is not just like a fruit that you can just, like anyone can just pick and eat it, and then all the truth is revealed in you. Truth is something deeper. For John, a person will have to come to light and know the truth only if the person does what is true. The person has to belong to the truth to recognize the truth of Jesus' word. In John's account, truth does not depend on your personal inclinations or differ from group to group or by human knowledge. Truth, it depends and can only be found in Jesus himself. Knowing the truth, your closeness to the truth is dependent in your conditions for the recognition of the truth. You can only know the truth if you submit yourself to the truth. That's John's account. So that's the explanation why truth matters. Because it governs our actions, it governs our decisions, and this truth can only be found in Jesus, in his, and in our closeness to him. So why Christmas? Why Christmas? The Bible was written over many centuries, written by different writers. It contains consistency, coherency. It presents a theology, a worldview about our morality, our existence. It's robust, it's reasonable, it's grounded in history. But what's the connection between truth and Christmas? There's a famous theologian who recently posted up a YouTube video. He just recently traveled to Asia. And as you know, in Asia, there's a lot of religions and different tribes. But in these gatherings, they found these leaders of the religious leaders came together and they're discussing God. And instead of arguing with one another, they actually seems to be pretty calm. And when he eavesdrops the conversations, the conversation goes basically like, hey, actually, we all are created, we love God. You know, the only difference between each of us is just that it's almost like God is up the top of the mountain and we are all at the bottom of the mountain and we're just coming from different sides. We're all just a bit different. We take a different direction to God. And this pastor / theologian can't help but to intervene. And he said, oh, that's interesting. And they asked who he was. And he said, he's a Christian. And he said, oh, you know, you're probably just taking the different path from the bottom of the mountain. And eventually we will see each other. We will see the same God. And he said, I don't think so. Because the God that I know doesn't stay and wait on top of the mountain. What I believe, the God that I know comes down from the mountain to see me. My friend, Christmas is the embodiment of God's love, faithfulness, truth, trust that is presented through this promise that the Word will become flesh. Because he just so loved this world. And he wants a relationship with us. So when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as we come to the celebrations of the Nativity, we are presented by a fulfillment of a promise that starts from the very beginning of our creations. It's about God's faithfulness, God's love, and the hope in the broken world. There is no other way, and Jesus is the ultimate and absolute truth. So friends, we're going to come into the time of communion. Can I present you with two questions? We talk about what is truth. We talk about why truth matters. Truth relates to our reality. Truth governs our decisions. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But can I present you with these two questions? Who is the truth in your life as you approach this Christmas? Who is the truth that you hold on to in your life? Each day, each morning, when it's good, when it's bad. What is the truth in your life? The second question, I can start with this. The reason why we celebrate Christmas is so we can know the truth of God. But can I also add, the reason why we celebrate Christmas is so others can know the truth about God. That questions with, that the kid posted, did your friends believe you? I hope each one of us will experience that question too. As we celebrate Christmas, as we invite other people to celebrate this gift, when the Word become flesh, embodied through the scene of the nativity, full of grace, full of truth, I hope you will take this chance to share the Word, to share the Word of God, to share the good news for your friends. Because this hope, this good news is not just for us, it's for everyone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your promise. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you to be the absolute truth in our life. Lord, we pray today that you will always be the truth in our life. Even when we struggle, even when we doubt, help us to remember that you are the truth. Lord, we also pray for this Christmas as we celebrate with our families, as we celebrate your love. We pray that we will open our doors for people who doesn't know you yet. Because the truth is, you love everyone. And you want everyone to know this truth, that there is hope, that we are created in your image. So we pray, God, that it will be your Spirit that will stay with us as we open our doors for our friends. In your name we pray. Amen.